This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Shoot, yeah, it's hour number 5 of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan Live, Shell Shack in Mesquite. You have another hour to get here. Everybody that enters will be entered to win a dinner for four valued at up to $100 here at any Shell Shack across DFW. We want to thank them. Their food's unbelievable, man. If you're hungry and you like shellfish of any kind, get here. It's time now for TD Tuesday. Here's the boys.
Let's do it. We do have news. Derek Lively, Clay Thompson will be playing tonight for your Dallas Mavericks. Yes. They are in. We'll get more hoops on the other side. But right now, for the first time in Shell Shack history, it's time for TD Tuesday.
Boom shakalak. Boom shakalak. Boom shakalak. TD Tuesday shakalak.
And we start in frigid Buffalo, New York, where the snow was falling from the sky and everyone was cutting glass, including Josh Allen Seinfeld on this beautiful TD.
Takes the snap, quick hitter, thrown behind, but somehow caught, and now lateral to Allen and reaching for the pylon. Are you kidding me? It's a touchdown. A catch by Amari Cooper, a lateral to Josh Allen, and he runs the remaining 5 yards for the score.
Bills Radio Network with the call. Amazing. Outstanding play, unbelievable. Another notch on the MVP belt of Mr. Josh Allen, who just became a fiancé for the first time in his life.
Congratulations,
Haley Steinfeld.
Josh. Oh.
The actress.
The actress.
That's an A-lister?
Absolutely.
Is that
she
A-lister?
Was in Hawkeye, Pitch Perfect, go back to True Grit, which I actually saw at Studio Movie Grill with Anthony Spencer, believe it or not.
You're kidding me.
Cowboy. I did.
Nice name drop there.
All right, let's
go. Good run stopper.
Yeah, very good.
Hey, he's the MVP, right? Josh Allen's your MVP?
I think so.
So far.
I think he sealed the deal.
Your MVP.
I think so. Let's go to some Turkey Day TDs where they are juicy and they are succulent. And it was the Chicago Bears roaring back in Detroit.
Four-man rush, back to throw. Caleb zips it down the left side, inside the five, over the shoulder. End zone, touchdown, DJ Moore. Touchdown, Bears. Beautiful throw. Got the coverage he wanted. Got the man-to-man that he wanted to burn, and he burned him good.
Oh, he burned him good.
Burned him good.
Burned him good.
And then their coach sensed him from the sidelines.
Yeah. Coach burned him good, too.
Wow.
Bears Radio Network there.
Historical coaching incompetence there from Eberflus. And if they go Kingsbury or Notre Dame head coach or something.
That's a Bears way to go, huh? Duh, Bears.
Bears going to figure it out.
Where's Ditka?
All right, let's go Cincinnati, the Cowboys' next opponent. It kicks the game off with a pick six.
Woo! Wilson in the gun. He's back to pass. His throw intercepted.
Nice.
Running it back is Cam Taylor-Britt. He's at the 35, the 30, 25, Tenney. Gets
get
a downfield block.
Yeah.
Hit the 5 to the goal line.
Yeah.
Touchdown.
Nice.
Bengals. Cam Taylor-Britt with a pick six to put Cincinnati on the scoreboard.
Hey, how about this, Eric? We get Dave Lappin.
I hope
Monday.
It is.
No,
yes,
no, we get him. We
it's
get
Dave.
Him.
Yeah, it's confirmed.
It's confirmed. We get him.
Tim
for
Collins pulling the strings, making it happen.
I might have to walk over and give Dave a good old shake of the hand.
Yeah, that's worth a handshake.
Let me shake
handshake.
I bet he's got a vice grip.
Yeah. Oh, I bet he does.
Yeah.
Bengals Radio Network with the call.
All right, let's go to the Buffs, the Colorado Buffalo Radio Network, where Shador is throwing TDs to the possible Heisman Trophy winner, Travis Hunter.
Takes the snap, takes the handoff, throws it right side, caught by Travis on a slant to the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown, Colorado! 11 yards out. He's got a pick. He's got a touchdown. And he's going to have a Heisman. 209 to play in the opening quarter. Ooh. It's 20 to nothing, Buffaloes.
That's your Heisman, huh?
Very excited.
Josh Allen MVP, Travis Hunter, Heisman, punch the ticket.
Punch the ticket.
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm going to go Heisman there for T.
Let's go Mile Heisman to Bo, Bag of Ass, Knicks to the local legend, Marvin Mims on Monday Night Football.
Knicks takes a shotgun snap, drops 3 yards into the end zone, loads it up, deep ball down the middle of the field. He's got Mims there. Mims is gone. 40, 30, 20, 10, high stepping into the south end zone. Touchdown, Denver, 93 yards.
Broncos Radio Network with the call. I mean, if Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix, Caleb Williams, Drake May.
Yeah.
I mean, all these guys, you're like, you're not totally out on. Of course, Caleb Williams, everybody feels like if you get a good offense around him, respectable coach, things will be all right. But maybe this class is
we'll see
about J.J. McCarthy, of course. But
and Michael Penix.
And gosh dang
maybe
it,
we get
dude.
Penix
there's a lot of them.
There are.
SMU eighth in the rankings here.
Yeah, the college football playoff rankings being unveiled right now. Boise State at 10, Indiana at 9, SMU at 8. We'll get more into that in just a moment. Let's go to Green Bay where the Packers were throwing Thanksgiving TDs, and it was Jordan Love to his guy, Jaden Reed.
Hold on, big I don't time. See that.
Oh, the Green Bay Packer one. Okay, yeah, let's Georgia Tech. Oh, you got it?
No, I don't see it.
All right, should we move on to Georgia Tech with Haynes King, the Meth Bowl, Carson Beck versus Haynes King, the Longview Lobo, running it in for a TD.
Oh, my God, I don't see that. What?
There's no Georgia Tech on there?
There's no GT.
I don't see Georgia Tech,
I'm looking straight at it. What's your next call?
Oh, I love this. No. Where's the TDs at, Lucius?
This is what happens when we're on the road, Lucius. Where are the TDs?
You promised there was going to be TDs here tonight.
Gosh,
it's a gosh dang
it.
TD Tuesday. Dude.
What's the next one?
What a hoax.
You promised.
Let's go to the rowdy van where the TDs are at.
Yeah. Rowdy's Bogart the TDs.
Rowdy, where are you? Save us, please.
I got somebody picked off Cousins.
All right, Cousins.
Hell yeah. Cousin TDs.
Imagine
take it away.
That. Somebody picked off Cousins.
All right, let's go to Arkansas. Take it away.
Kyle Pitts left, Bijan in the backfield. They take the snap. Looking right, throwing right, intercepted. Left sideline, 30, 20, Tar, Heeb, still, touchdown, Chargers. Oh, fear the turtle. The rookie with his third interception of the season, the second of this game, and he takes it all the way to pay dirt.
Nope.
Matt Money Smith.
Matt Money.
I believe his name is Tar Heeb still.
Tar Heeb. Yeah, it's still Tar Heeb.
It still is.
Despite all the making fun that happened throughout his childhood, it is still Tar Heeb.
But fear the damn turtle.
Yeah, amen to that. This is kind of fun now. This is kind of like
roulette.
It's like mystery TDs. Like, what's behind? What's behind the wall here?
Is it a push-up roll?
Let's find out.
I got to get my glasses, fam. Y'all
in
doing too
just
much.
Just a moment.
Throw it top of your head.
Y'all doing too much now. I got to get my glasses, bro.
You got to get a good look at those warlocks.
Get a glimpse.
Go make that move.
Somewhere Ross is laughing.
Right now, Ross.
Gotcha, Lucius. Yeah. Yeah. They gotcha.
Gators, man, love TDs. Okay, let's fire off just the mystery box TD of the moment.
Sam Darnold.
Sammy D.
We're back.
Ballin'.
Takes the snap. Four-man rush. Sam to the right. Caught. And touchdown! He's showtime! And Aaron Jones saved his best for last. We're tied at 22.
Yeah.
Heck yeah. Oh, yeah, Vikings dude. Radio Network with the call.
He's showtime. All right. I think we got Notre Dame. We got pick sixes for TDs as the Irish just one-upped their first pick six with an even better one.
1 second to spare. Pressure in his face. Jump ball intercepted in the end zone. Xavier Watts has it, and he's down the far sideline. This is going to go as well. It'll be a new Notre Dame record. Pick six, number two. Xavier Watts runs it for a touchdown, and he can run all the way to South Bend for a home playoff game.
All right. So, you know, Irish Radio Network, I always thought that whoever was the play-by-play guy for Notre Dame would just have, like, a booming...
He used to.
Like, did he retire?
Yeah,
so we got a
long
new
time,
guy
long time.
And not that that's a bad call, but it just was a little disappointing.
Long time ago.
I liked the way he put the finisher on it. Like, take that thing to South Bend, you're hosting a playoff game. That was kind of a nice touch right there. Yeah. At one point during that game, a Notre Dame offensive lineman, after pancaking a USC Trojan, just straight up... close fist punched him into the face mask as if he wasn't wearing a helmet or anything, but it was as obvious, just a clear as day, just punched to the face. It was like something was in the air on a college football Saturday.
Unbelievable.
Rivals week, bring in the demons
and probably some Toradol in the veins
out of everybody. Yeah,
how about this?
Holy cow.
Right now you got two Texas schools with byes in the college football playoff: Oregon, Texas, SMU, and Boise State.
Yeah.
Be your top four seeds right now.
That's
so cool. Amazing.
Wow, dude.
The way that SMU sits right now in this thing, they would play the winner of, is it Georgia, or excuse me, Alabama and Notre Dame, and they would play them at Ford Field.
They would. Oh, we would have to go.
Holy jeez, how fun would
awesome.
That be?
That would be awesome. Live broadcast, can we set it up? Spitzy?
Yeah, let's set
DC,
it up.
DC, you guys listening?
Wow. Okay, we'll get a little bit more into the college football playoff rankings here in a few moments, but back to the TDs. We head to New England, where rarely do you find impressive ones, but here goes Antonio Gibson for 11 yards.
It's a second down and 10 from the 11. Ball splits the hash marks. And now May with Douglas motioning right. Hand off Gibson. Waits to pick an opening. Runs to the left side. And he's finding his way into the end zone. Antonio Gibson. Touchdown, Patriots.
Can't lose to this team.
But they did.
Except,
of course,
sorry, Scott Zolak.
You can and you will.
When I heard the dismount there, I'm like, oh my gosh.
He just jinxed
it. Can't lose to this team. Well, you did. You lost.
Patriots Radio Network, we love you.
All right, my favorite TD of the entire weekend, because the Cowboys played on Thursday, but this is the big man, Tutty. It is Seattle. It's Leonard Williams. It's the Seahawks Radio Network, and he picked off Aaron Rodgers and truffle shuffled his big butt into the end zone. It was glorious.
Third down and 7 from the Seattle 9. Blitz is coming. Throw inside. It's picked off. Leo Williams coming near side. He's running like a racehorse. He's at midfield. Turns upfield. Has blockers. Holy smokes, are you kidding? Leo Williams is going to take it in for a touchdown. Seahawks.
Holy smokes, are you kidding?
Man, when a voice crack pops up, you know you're fired up.
Oh, yeah.
You're
something
dialed.
Exciting.
And that was a voice crack worthy play and moment.
It was.
It was revenge on his former team. It's on Aaron Rodgers, which is just more funny,
glorious.
You know. And the fact that he was able to go that far. What a super beast. Leonard Williams, salute to you, sir. All right, now we get, let's get super local with some local TDs. The SMU Ponies, who right now are looking at a first-round bye in the college football playoff. That's a beautiful thing. So is Kevin Jennings to Breshard Smith.
Jennings rolls right, throws back left. Breshard wide open at the 10, the 5. Touchdown, SMU!
Flo goes right, Breshard goes left. Defense didn't stay home. Mustangs get the touchdown to the running back.
Love it. Ponies Radio Network.
Pony
with the
up.
Call.
There it is. And we finish it off with our buddy Craig Way and the Texas Radio Network. Nothing but aura. It was arch time. He comes in his first play of the game. A&M and Texas. And what does he do?
Arch with the snap, turns, and keeps it himself. Manning has the first down inside the 10 to the goal line. Arch Manning, did he get across?
After video review, runner touched the pylon, therefore he gets the goal line extended. The ball was across the goal line extended. It is a touchdown.
It's a touchdown. Arch Manning takes it across for the score.
Man, my dad was making me watch Oregon-Washington while that game was going on. They cut in, and I see the Arch Manning score, and I'm like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Was it just like a Justin Fields-Russell Wilson situation?
Yeah, it was kind of like they down in the red zone, they just went ahead and had some fun with
it. That guy's got it.
Yeah.
I was wrong.
Not the last time we'll have some Arch TDs popping off our ears. So that's exciting. There it is, TD Tuesday.
Thank you, guys. Gosh, such a great celebration of the greatest scores that were here over this past weekend. And one more weekend of huge college football games is coming up, and we got to react to what the playoff committee has just unveiled for us and what's in store here over the next 5 days in the world of college football. We're back with that here live at Shell Shack in Mesquite, and you still have about 40 minutes to get in here and get entered to win the Dinner for Four giveaway worth up to $100. We're back with some college here in the nation.
Odyssey celebrates the holidays, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are, right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We are checking out the most recent college football playoff rankings that were just released, looking forward to the slate of games this weekend. And you talk about a perfect way to end it. Holy cow. Segment is brought to you by Soda. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. And it's brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is hurt in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online to frankelfirm.com. I mean, this is crazy. I mean, Georgia, Texas, SMU, Clemson?
Yeah.
How confident are you guys that we'll still have two teams in the top four this time next week?
Ooh, that's a great question. I would say not extremely. I do think like Clemson's going to be a challenge for SMU, and we've already seen what Georgia was able to do to Texas. So
yeah,
not to say that it'll go exactly the same way, but this is a tall order on both sides.
So what happens if both teams lose? Is SMU out?
I think SMU deserves to still be in.
I kind of believe that SMU's still in.
Yeah, I do too.
I think it certainly, if it's a close game.
Their one loss was to BYU. That's a 10-win team right now. And then to lose. Now, the committee didn't do Clemson any favors by where they put them. You know, I think they're 14th in the rankings right now, 15th in the rankings. So they've made it difficult. If Clemson, I would really be worried if Clemson was, say, like, 13th, where they're
playing for a
playoff
spot.
They're playing in. They're trying to play to get in.
Yeah.
You know, to me, where Clemson is, even if they beat SMU, I don't see them getting in.
But, like,
they'd be in as the conference champ.
Conference champ. Okay.
But I don't think they should penalize SMU.
Yeah.
Like,
you're
that,
right.
That
conference,
becomes the whole thing, right?
The conference champ. So, yeah. So
Clemson would get in that way, but yeah. I don't think you should penalize SMU for making it to your conference championship game and then taking it. That's where the conversation is going to be had, because then it's why bother playing in a conference title game. If I lose said game, I don't want to play.
Like, Indiana's sitting pretty right now to me, because they don't have to deal with the conference championship, right?
Yeah, yeah. Oregon, Penn State.
Yeah. So, I mean, Indiana, By where they're sitting right now, they're into the playoff, but not even having to play a game. And if they had to play a game, maybe they would get exposed.
Yeah.
And again, they would have another loss, and then you could really, you know,
it's like
you,
Indiana's an awesome story, but they had a chance against Ohio State and they got blown out.
Yeah.
So I mean, I personally think the Big Ten, its reputation, its big names, I don't think the conference is as good as people make it out to be. I think you got Oregon. You just saw what happened with Ohio State. Overrated. You just lost at home to Michigan. Penn State loses every big game they're in, it seems like. Indiana, same thing. Like, do I think that Indiana and Penn State are better than any team that's right now in this playoff? When it comes to Tennessee, Bama, Notre Dame, Georgia, Boise even. Boise, I think, could beat both those teams. South Carolina right now is the team that's being left out that I think would beat both Penn State and Indiana. They might be the hottest team in college
South
football.
South Carolina, right, though, that loss to LSU, and the only reason they lost to LSU early in the year is because South Carolina's quarterback got hurt.
And that, yeah, should say something.
That could have been a 10-win team right there. You know, and I'll admit that. I watched South Carolina just have their way with LSU until their quarterback got hurt, and then that thing went south for them. So, you know, South Carolina's had some really good wins this year.
I mean, they've been hot down the stretch here.
Heck, they had Alabama on the ropes.
They did.
They had Alabama on, you know, and recovered an onside kick and were driving to score the game-winning touchdown and ran out of time. But they've played. South Carolina's played well this year. They really have.
The committee's going to put Alabama.
But they put Ole Miss. They put Ole Miss ahead of South Carolina.
They did, and I think Ole Miss is more deserving than both those Big Ten schools too.
Yeah. I mean, the committee needs to get out of their Alabama mindset if that's what they're going to do. But how about we drill down a little bit more on SMU and how you look at them? Do you seriously eyeball test them as one of the top four teams in the country?
You know what? I tell you what. I see SMU from afar, and I'd love to, like, next week when if we need to, maybe this week, maybe Friday, I need to take a look at SMU as a team, and we need to break them down a little bit better going in. I mean, maybe my Friday Krusty's Corner will be talking about, hey, this is what I've seen in SMU, because I'd like to watch their game film and see, okay, they obviously a quarterback, skilled people, wide receiver, offensive line, you know, there's things you got to really, really like about SMU. So on Friday on Krusty's Corner, I want to break down SMU play and what we got from SMU and potentially them against Clemson.
I'd love that. I think Kevin Jennings is the trump card at quarterback. I think we've seen a special quarterback in college football. You can go on a run. Kevin Jennings is special at SMU.
And Saban says most underrated in the country.
I mean, what he's able to do as a passer, but also with his legs, SMU can go on a special run because of that kid. I believe in him.
Okay, Krusty's Corner 340, by the way, every day right here on 105 Through the Fan, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. Do you think these teams like Boise, SMU, Indiana, maybe even a Notre Dame have what it takes to win three or four consecutive games?
Notre Dame might have the worst loss of anybody in this playoff right now. Their one loss was against Northern Illinois. Ever since then, they've been on point. I think Notre Dame, dealing with their quarterback, the kids that transfer from Duke, you know, I kind of feel
Riley Leonard.
They've got some things about them. You know, they've been a little bit little inconsistent some with their play. They've kind of made some things. I'll tell you this though, that I'd keep an eye on, because they lose some game management stuff sometimes, clock management. You know, there's some things on the sidelines in a big game that you might be a little bit concerned about with Notre Dame when you look at their coaching situation. How do you manage, you know, maybe a tough, tight game there? I would keep an eye on that one.
What do you think about the idea of having a Cinderella champion? Is that good or bad for you know, the game? Because everything has always been about polls and opinions that has
mattered so much.
You're
talking about the UConn basketball winning it with when they played through the Big East tournament, that kind of thing?
Like Kemba?
Yeah, like an eight Kemba seed Walker winning the championship. Yeah. You know, I think it's different. I'm up for the idea of it being better because it gives more programs the idea that they can believe.
I'll say this. I've already watched a lot of Oregon tape because of a couple of different players, a wide receiver, the defensive line, and stuff like that. Oregon deserves to be the number one team in the country.
Yeah, they're really good.
They play they're very good on defense. They're very good on offense. They got a lot of weapons. Gabriel, the quarterback, he's very accurate throwing the ball. They run him. They've got a coach that kind of gets it. We always talk about Dan Lanning and, like, all right, hey, they're going to walk out of this stadium when they play this song. Or we're going to turn it on.
He's ready for anything.
He's ready. They are so well coached and well prepared for this moment. That's the best team I've seen so far. There's a reason why they're undefeated. But we talk about the Big Ten. But the games they've had to win, they've been able to do that.
And everybody other than Penn State is rooting for Oregon to win to keep Penn State out, because if Penn State would win, would they both be in?
that eats up a spot?
Yes.
Right? That's how that works?
Yeah, I guess the big question would be Indiana. You know, does Indiana stay in if you have a Texas lose and that slides? I mean, obviously Georgia's in right now, but I guess SMU. Like, maybe that becomes a debate. Is it SMU? Yeah. Is it Indiana in that case? I don't know. But, I mean, I think the storyline's great with the Hoosiers. I think they've had an unbelievable season. But I think the bottom line is you're trying to get the 12 best teams in. Do we think that Indiana is going to beat any of these teams? I can't tell you I believe that they would.
Well, the first two out are Miami and Ole Miss. Like, you would take Miami to beat IU, and you would take Ole Miss to beat IU right now.
And I would lean South Carolina.
So how's Texas come in at a 1.5-point favorite, considering what happened earlier?
They're playing so well defensively. I mean, I think their defense is even better than what it was their first meeting. Georgia had an unbelievable game plan defensively.
Georgia's start in that game. Texas from the jump where it was out of the game and all of a sudden had to come back. Texas literally beat Texas's offensive line up in that football game. The pressure that they were able to get on Quinn Ewers was unbelievable. When you watch Georgia's draftable players on defense, you start with the Texas game because Texas has got two offensive tackles that are draftable guys. One of them, the left tackle, very high. So when you're watching Georgia's edge, and Georgia's edge got after Texas in that football game.
Yeah. So then, Chief?
No, I think Sark would have probably a much better plan coming into this one.
Yeah.
But also, you can only do so much with a quarterback who is – like, he's not playing at the height of his powers, Quinn Ewers.
Yeah, I do feel like the team that lost the initial matchup, if it's fairly even, you have a pretty big edge emotionally, tactically.
Right.
The team that won gets complacent and think they have you.
Yeah, but Georgia's quarterback, he'll give it to you too now.
They were in a huge hole. They should have lost to Georgia Tech.
That's what I'm saying. You know, they've come back in some games, but Beck is one of those guys that's had some bad interception games and stuff like that where you watch him play. But, man, I'll tell you what, both teams are going to probably have to overcome some of their quarterback play.
Can Texas run the football? I mean, they got dominated, to your point, at the line of scrimmage in the first meeting. Can they figure out a way to get the run game going? They did it against A&M, and that saved them.
All righty. So there it is, the College Football Playoff Committee show live at the top of the hour. That is the very latest as Texas and SMU both in the top four for now. That would be so awesome. I mean, to go on an SMU run for the championship, I'm sure a lot of people would know a lot more about that team between now and then.
I mean, imagine going back. Somebody tweeted out, imagine going back in time, December 2014, and telling somebody that SMU, who was 1-11 that year, would make the playoffs before a team like A&M.
Yeah, what's going to be really neat is if SMU does pull this off and they do get to hold their spot, I think it's going to be fascinating that on the Hilltop you're going to have either Alabama potentially or Notre Dame.
Can we put up some temporary seating?
I'll tell you you talk about like big games.
Yeah, they huge.
Yeah, this would be a huge game for that program to be able to showcase. I mean, recruits and stuff. You know, hey, we're playing Alabama. We're playing. You know, it would be big. It would be
there's
big.
A lot to love about that school if you're a recruit, especially inside Texas.
Yeah.
Living in the big city and, you know, everything that goes along with the pageantry of being at SMU, the deep pockets, the alumni.
I would love to see them play Notre Dame over there.
Yeah.
I would love to see them play Notre Dame.
Okay, Jerry Jones on with Sean and RJ this morning. There were a number of talking points that came from that, including, you know, his take on Mike McCarthy. Dak Prescott also in an article with Jory Epstein, Yahoo Sports today. Coming to Mike's defense, and Jerry said quality of character. He said he's genuine, no BS with these players, and I've never thought for one second the team had quit recognizing what an outstanding coach he is. So, you know, I, we're getting to a point here that if they beat the Bengals and beat the Panthers, I think this conversation is going to have a lot more credibility.
You're 7-7 at that point.
Yeah, and then, you know, could you win two of the next three? I think everything could change Monday night as you're sitting there in the postgame show if you can slow down the high-octane Bengals attack and, you know, do something consistent offensively. Is there a chance that after a season and a half of basically not playing, Cooper Rush just needed to get his bearings a little bit, knock off some rust? Like, that was kind of his preseason as we saw him struggling so much. Now,
they didn't use him at all the preseason. It was all Trey Lance.
I mean, I get that the draft pick is on the line, and I'm right there with you. I want a great draft pick, but also after the first eight games of the season, I would just, you know, like to have some excitement or something to hope for.
I think there's a chance, even if they don't get in the playoffs, what if they're 9-8? Do you think that saves Mike McCarthy's shot?
I think it could. I think it could if he's willing to give up the offensive coordinator.
That's where I'm at. I mean, if he's 9-8 and he's willing to make some changes with him as the primary play caller, then I say sign this thing back up. If not, you need to go a different direction here.
Dak Prescott taking a little bit of a shot of the front office as well, saying he would love to have Mike back for another contract, more runs at it, and be able to do it his way. So that's interesting. And we were talking about last hour if that is, you know, positive Dak out there protecting his guys, being team first, being the great leader that he is, not showing any, you know, cracks in the armor, that kind of thing. Or if that's, you know, genuinely the way that he feels about it. I think a lot of these young guys in the NFL know, you know, just like a lot of the young media members, your YouTubers, your bloggers, you know, they know the limitations of a Mike McCarthy offense. But you have so many smart people like singing Mike McCarthy's praises, and to go through such an adversity filled season, to not give up like the Giants and so many other teams would or have, there's some toughness in there. There's some high level management, you know, of people that I just don't think we can overlook, especially with the Jones history of hiring guys.
Yeah, but you also have to be like, people in the media have to be willing to tell the truth though too. And I think nobody wants to go after somebody's job. Hmm. You know what I'm saying? I think that as a media, your whole responsibility is to be fair.
Yeah.
You know? And let's be honest. The season started poorly. Mm-hmm. You know, even when they had all their guys healthy, it was going poorly. They got blown out in some games. The offense hasn't been as good. Even with Dak at quarterback, we came on Monday mornings and were talking about it not being good enough.
Yeah.
So people might be just taking the approach of smart people you're talking about, saying, listen, we know the guy's probably gone. Let's not pile on here.
Sure.
But I think you owe it to your listeners to be fair about it. Hey, listen, the last couple of weeks, you know, I've given this offensive line coach some credit for the way that the line's played, especially with Brock Hoffman playing at right tackle. Mike Solari, there's a lot of times where you feel like, man, this offensive line didn't get it done, couldn't run the ball, couldn't do this, couldn't do that. Well, the last couple of games in two games in 5 days, they've run the ball for over almost 200 yards.
So I'd love to go back and start the season again with Mike Zimmer having time to install, right, and figure out which guys could do what. And maybe it took a little bit too long on a couple of things. But also Rico Dowdle as your primary back.
See, that's why you kind of blame Mike McCarthy for some of these things, because, you know, when you needed to find a way to be creative and run the ball, you didn't do that.
Was it his choice to put Zeke in?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Okay, this
he wanted to play.
This could be what Dak is talking about. But that's his buddy, right? Ezekiel Elliott is Dak Prescott's buddy. Why would he slam the front office about Zeke if that's his buddy?
Because Dak's not stupid, and I think he realizes.
I agree. Dak,
hey,
very cunning.
Rico's the better player here.
Yeah. I totally agree with you on that.
Yeah.
But to me, like, you know, all of a sudden we're sitting here talking about using Overshown as a rusher. Why do guys with mics get to sit here and talk about, like, wow, maybe they should use Overshown as a poor man's Micah Parsons? You know, they don't.
We're live at Shell Shack in Mesquite. Thank you for those thoughts on that. And congratulations to Texas and SMU for being top four as of now. Huge weekend coming up. You still have another 15 minutes to get in here to win that dinner. And we're back to crosstalk with the Fan After Dark. See what those guys have cooking next in the nation. Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. Thanks to all the Tolos for joining us here at Shell Shack in Mesquite tonight. It's been a really fun time. Time flies. having fun, eating delicious food, Shell Shack in Mesquite. And I'm sure we'll be back real soon. It's time now, though, to get you set for the Fan After Dark. And good evening, gentlemen. How the heck are you?
We are blessed once again on a Tuesday morning. Just got done talking to the boss, Gavin Spittle, about a little bit of hockey, a little bit of fun weekend plans he's got for all of us. So a good time to be in the studio.
Yeah, should be a good time. You with Fred tonight?
And with Fred tonight. He just realized we're doing crosstalk, so he is scouring for his headphones. And I'm just holding down the set right now.
Okay, so looking forward to it. A full four tonight. What do you guys have planned?
Fred, you want to turn on your mic? There it is.
What do we? Well, look, we got your boy on.
7:40. Just because of you brought us, I went ahead and got Mr. Vach Lombardi. Talk a little draft, a little cowboy.
Oh, hey, Vach Lombardi.
Well, don't hold him too long. We got to be on at 8 o'clock for the podcast.
He let me know that. I said 7:55. He's we're out. We're done. And if you need to leave early, we're out. I know you got your thing with
Actually,
B. So.
We got Dane Brugler on as a guest
tonight. Wow. That's a good hit right there. That's
just
a good
trying to steal
pull.
All our listeners, huh? Trying to steal all our listeners. I'll definitely be too
exactly what
one.
He's trying to do.
No, not at all. Not
Might
at
as
all.
Well retire from the draft show.
With his bougie synthetic oil. I see how it is. I see how it is.
That's a good show, though, that Vach Lombardi would brought us.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun.
Vach was better without him, actually.
And you got the Brugs on? Oh, I'll definitely be tuning into that one when we get off.
Tuesdays generally are our guest lineup night. So, yeah, we had to trick Dane into coming on with us is what we had.
I mean, the draft talk is firing up, but what happens if they beat the Bengals Monday night, guys? Will you believe it all?
Nope. No. Won't believe they're not going to beat the Bengals, Gavin. I think it's a great question to pose. But we've seen the Bengals' offense being able to put up points. The defense has been not to be desired this year. But I don't think Cooper Rush and company and Mingo can keep up with this Bengals' offense. As many miscues as they do have on defense, at the end of the day, the Bengals are putting up 30-plus like it's nobody's business. And I don't think the Dallas Cowboys will be able to do that. We'll break that down more as the show goes along. But in simple terms, no.
So, I mean, the Commanders are putting up a lot of points as well. Did again on Sunday.
They are, but here's
I think the mic.
Well, I was going to say, but here's the thing, you guys, and I'll defer to you guys on this. I mean, look, you had what, two special teams touchdowns against the Commanders? That's not typically going to happen. You had a freakish, you know, not even a scoop and score, a deflect and score. You know, you're getting a lot of help from the other sides of the ball. And look, we all love complimentary football, but to consistently rely on that to win games, that's a fool's errand, my friend.
I hear you. I hear
Such
you.
Such a hater.
I'm scavenging for any signs of hope.
Here. Cup of haterade.
Yeah. I stepped out on too many limbs for this team. All right, I stepped out on too many limbs when everybody
else. As you punish their free food in the press box.
Absolutely, and we're going to do it again on Monday night too. We're going to do it again.
No such thing as a free lunch.
No, there's not.
Fred's going to wear stretch pants. He said he's not going to wear the slacks.
Broadus, I have a question for you.
You sit next to me, Fred.
Elastic waistband. Thank you very much.
this has been asked or talked about a lot. I've heard just in the media in general. Do you guys believe in the whole culture of what you do this year bleeds into the next year, especially if you're getting a new coaching staff, kind of that winning culture?
I think you can learn things about your team, and you know, you can have development in that second half of the season while you're trying out some different things or different players that can help you for next year. But I mean, there's so much time and there's so much turnover. You know, I don't know. I don't know about that whole winning momentum. There was a guy that used to man this post, Reggie Atatula, that would take offense to any suggestion.
He would.
It was true.
He's not a believer in momentum.
Yeah.
I think there was something to be said about the Lions. That worked out. They played hard against the Packers. They won a game. In
that
week
they
18.
Had no business winning,
They thought maybe they had a chance. They get eliminated before kickoff from the playoffs. They still win. And they've been able to now have – their two best back-to-back seasons in organization's history. But you look at the Raiders with Antonio Pierce. They finished the stretch really strong last year. That has not carried over. So I don't know. I think it just depends on who the coach is, who the team is. But I don't know that you're going to have a new coaching staff next year here, fellas.
Wow, I don't disagree. I don't disagree. And we saw I don't know if y'all talked about the Jory Epstein article today.
Yeah.
About, you know, her and Dak.
What
and
did
so.
It say?
Basically, Dak loves him, apparently.
Dak's just sad that he can't help to fight for the extension. You know? Yeah. So, I guess
scared of losing his guy.
Hey, we'll see. I'm with you guys. I would not be at all surprised if they run this thing back in its entirety. But I'm also of the belief that I don't think this team – I think this team has one winnable game in the next five.
Wow, look at that. Here they come. Guys, enjoy your evening. Thank you so much. The Fan After Dark with Fred and Blake is next. Thanks to Lucius Alexander and the Pimp Cup back there. Master Control just went five flawless once again. Radio producing, engineering, and hosting. At times, video coordinating. Hiccups. Thanks to Broadus, Wolchuk, and Chiafalo, and Shell Shack for having us out. Until tomorrow at 2, I'm Gavin Dawson. You're going home with the Nation. At ease.